Chapter 1. Evil Emperor Yaldabaoth. 1. The Sacred Kingdom Robel was situated on a peninsula southwest of the Riestes Kingdom. Ruled harmoniously by influential shrines and a holy king wielding powerful faith magic at the top, the Sacred Kingdom was a deeply religious country, though not to the extent of the slain theocracy. The realm of the Sacred Kingdom had two unusual characteristics. One was that its territory was split north and south by the sea. Of course, the two parts weren't completely cut off from each other, but the land shape resembled a sideways horseshoe, and right in the middle was a giant bay stretching approximately 25 miles north to south and 125 miles east to west. This gulf is so great that some people distinguish between the Northern Sacred Kingdom and the Southern Sacred Kingdom. There was one other notable thing. A massive wall spanned the mouth of the peninsula, running over 60 miles north to south. The purpose of the barrier was to prevent invasions from the various subhuman tribes who made their homes in the hilly area to the east that was situated between the Sacred Kingdom and the Theocracy. The sheer thickness of this formidable wall, as well as the amount of time and national power devoted to its construction, spoke volumes about how much Robel had suffered and mourned at the hands of its neighbors. The gap in innate ability between subhumans and humanoids is vast. Certain races like goblins could be considered an exception. Goblins are significantly smaller in stature than humans. They are often inferior in terms of physical ability, intelligence, and number of casters born in the population. But even goblins could prove a troublesome foe if they took advantage of their night vision and ability to conceal themselves. For example, lying in ambush under the cover of darkness in the forest. As a matter of fact, most of the various races in the region were far more muscular than humans. Quite a few were born with arcane powers as well. If the Sacred Kingdom allowed an invasion to occur, the blunder would surely be paid for with a terrible amount of blood. Which was why its people went to such lengths just to strengthen its defenses. To prevent subhumans from setting so much as a foot in its territory. To show them this land belonged to someone else. To make sure all its enemies knew that any who dared to trespass would be in for the fight of their lives. These were the reasons why the wall had been raised. Unfortunately, there was a problem. Fully maintaining the fortifications required a vast number of soldiers. On one occasion, the Sacred Kingdom's leaders estimated how many soldiers would be required to defend against a subhuman invasion. The result of their investigation showed that the nation would collapse long before the invaders ever mounted an attack. It wasn't economically feasible to have so many soldiers on standby at the walls. At the same time, everyone agreed that they had to man the defenses to a certain degree. The worst encroachment in the history of the Sacred Kingdom that took place after the wall had been built was an attack that came with rain that kept up for days. This raid was conducted by the Shrosh, a race with suckers on their limbs and long tongues that could cross great distances to deliver paralyzing venom. Some elite members of their kind could even change the color of their skin and achieve an effect similar to the camouflage spell. These were the invaders who scaled the wall and pushed westward. Multiple villages fell victim to their predations. The tragedy was so great that rumors of Shrosh lurking somewhere inside the kingdom persist to this day. With the past weighing heavily in their minds, the leaders of the Sacred Kingdom wanted to make sure they had enough soldiers to prevent a repeat of those dark days. The concept was simple in theory, but manning the walls using standard methods would have been too great a strain on the country. The solution was a series of forts, established at fixed intervals along the length of the wall, which were in turn supervised by larger regional fortresses. The smaller forts were garrisoned with only enough soldiers to delay the enemy. In the event one came under concentrated attack, their main responsibility was to immediately light a signal fire to request backup from nearby fortresses. There were also companies that regularly patrolled between forts that could be used as flexible reserves in a pinch. Once these new measures were in place, the subhuman tribe stopped attacking the wall. Despite this improvement, the leaders of the Sacred Kingdom remained obsessively cautious. The string of bastions wasn't enough to give them peace of mind. A massive fortress that might intimidate a human was hardly...